This week's showroom have been sponsored by Le'ilu Nishmas Hachover Rav Yaakov Aryeh ben Hachover Rav Yisrael, Zion Teves, Tuesday the 14th of December, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Fuaz Yosef.
This shir is Le'ilu Nishmas of Imeir Rav Elazar ben Rav Chaim. There are a number of difficulties in understanding how Yosef is described in Pesukim and Bifrat in Chazal, and how Yosef specifically fits in to the rest of the Shvatim. Start with a kasha that really is part of it, but that we won't have time to answer. You can do some of your own homework. And that is that when Yosef is born, Rachel has been childless for years. So she says, she calls him Yosef because Osaf es herposi, my shame, my embarrassment has been removed. And Rashi quotes the Medrash that the reason is, if a person doesn't have a child in the house, then things get broken, so you have to take the blame for it. But now, when something breaks, who did it? Your child. Who ate the ta'anim? Your child. So understand that that's what Rachel, that the name she gives the child is because now I can say things which aren't true in the name of your child. It's my child. And beforehand she had said, Hoveli bonim b'mayin mesa onochi. That's all she can think of. But etzim, it means that even ad kadei kach, that's what it really means. Now, koros hakei, that's over, ad kadei kach. But other questions are, that until Esav was born, until Yosef was born, Yaakov felt he couldn't take on Esav. But now that he has Yosef, he's fine. Yehuda is l'chera, the one who wages the war. Why Yosef? In this week's Sedra, we find that Yaakov sees here the two children of Yosef, and he says the bracha that he says, or the shevach or the hakara, is that Menashe v'Ephraim kiruvein v'Shimon yirli. Why use that type of terminology, and why is that b'chalal a bracha or a hidah? What is he saying with that? So really, in order to understand it, we have to go back to Parashas Vayeshev and understand how it is that the brothers could attempt to kill Yosef. Of course, he was bringing dibosam ro'el aviem, but that normally in families is not enough to attempt murder. So what's going on beneath the surface? So when Yosef is given the coat, so it says vayisnu Yosef, they hated him. And when he has his dream, it says vayikanuvoy, they were jealous. Now, normally speaking, it should have been the verb should have been the opposite way around. When they got the coat, so for that the verb jealousy applies. And when he has the dream, so there you could talk about hatred because of how he is acting and how he is denigrating them. But the truth is, they understood that it was true. They understood that what was going on was Yosef being elevated above the other brothers. And they saw in him wearing the coat the begodim of Malchus. In fact, in the word pasim, pei is 80, and samach yud mem is 110. 80 out of 110 years is how long the coat was a coat of Malchus. That's how long he ruled for. And therefore, firstly, they saw a repetition of Yaakov and Esav going on here. Because just like Esav tries to trick the father, the dibosam ro'ah is a simon, not a sibba. It's a simon in the fact that he is trying to do exactly what Esav was doing. Kitzayid b'fiv. He's trying to put himself into a particular light with regards Yaakov, in the same way as Esav tried it with regards Yitzchak. And he therefore is endangering the future of Klal Yisrael. Because he will be given the bracha, and you'll have what nearly happened in the last day. Wearing the coat is an act of being married by Malchus, because he's wearing Malchus. And hence we find that when they threw him into the boer, it says, Vayavshitu eskutonte eskusenes apasim asha olov. So Rashi says, kutonte means, choluk means his undergarment, and kusenes apasim asha olov, right, which is actually on top of that other garment. So actually work the other way around. The way it's put in the Torah is lachar the wrong way around. But that is to be mekayim, so to speak, that there's a halacha that a king cannot be seen without, when he's not wearing any clothing. So the davka took off not only the kesenis pasim, but the choluk as well. Because they wanted to make a meiser that shows that he's not the melech. If that's the case, so where have they gone wrong? They've done what they were required to do. Somebody's married Malchus, you can't be Meuchel on it. They have to be put to death.
Why was he worthy of the Malchus?
Because the all of his actions were geared towards taking away any brocha from the other brothers, and the fact that he talks about them bowing down to him, which they understood to be Emes, was that he wants to be the Melech, and the coat that he's wearing is he's being Malbish himself in Malchus. So why were they wrong? The answer is because there are two Malchus in Klal Yisrael. Even though L'chaira doesn't make any sense. It's like 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. You can't have two things which are at the head. It's one or the other. To understand this, we have to go back to Yitzchok. Yitzchok is the first of the Avos to receive Brocha through Klal Yisrael. Avram Avinu is given the Keach to give Brocha. And Yitzchok is the one who is the recipient of this bracha. Yitzchok lives a life which is impossible, because Afrei Munach Lefonov, he died on the Akedah, his neshama left him, and he had Trias HaMesim, and hence the second bracha of Shemini Esrei is Kelapa Yitzchok, because he had Trias HaMesim on the Akedah, and therefore his whole continued life after the Akedah. And it was after that he had children. In other words, our existence as Klal Yisrael comes from a place which is absolutely impossible. It's l'mayla min ha-teva. And it is well known, the Ari says that the word Yitzchok is transposed, there's the word, two words, Kates Chai. That he came from a place where life had stopped and it started again. So it came l'mayla min ha-teva. And hence the word Yitzchok is b'gematria 8 times Havaya. 208. Yitzchok is 8 times Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yaakov, however, is 182, is 7 times Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because Yaakov lives the Teva, lives in Golus, and therefore that's the brocha that he is given. The question is, where did that middah, that 8th level of Yud Kei Vav Kei, where did it go to? So the haflaw in his Sefer Machneh on Kiddushin, says the following. There's a Maisa here with Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that he's on his way to learn Torah. Abaya heard that he was coming, and there was a Mazik Berabonon. There was this Mazik in the Beis HaMedrash, which was particularly dangerous. So Abaya said, listen, when he comes, no one should give him anywhere to sleep. He'll have to sleep in the Beis HaMedrash, and then he'll get rid of the mazik for us. What did he do? Idmele ketanina deshiva reshvase. It was like a seven-headed snake, serpent, or whatever. And he kol kare dekora, when he every time he bowed down, nosar chad resha, one head fell off. And that's how, bowed down 7 times, and each time one of the 7 heads fell off, and that's how he killed this mazik. Says the haflah, where did he learn it from? Learned it from Yaakov. Yaakov is about to meet Esau, and he bows down 7 times. After he bows down 7 times, Esau and Yaakov meet. Hechatesa. Esau is Gematria 376, which is 7 times Tomei, and 1 times Yud Kei Vav Kei. There is an element within Esav which contains the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Sai Mibchinas Rabbi and Antoninus, that they can be a shutzpus between Klal Yisrael and Edom, or at a time when Klal Yisrael are not doing what they're supposed to do, there is a brocha that is chal on Esav, al charbachot tichye. But one way or another, there is an element within Esav of the Yudke Vovke, except it's covered up with seven levels of tumah. But when you remove that, then all that's left is the Yudke Vovke. Yaakov is seven times Yudke Vovke. The Mela, they come together. There is no barrier anymore. Agav, Esav is also Gematria Sholem, which also something for research. It's a lot of homework to do today. That's Yaakov on the level of Yaakov. When Yaakov is called Yisrael, so the difference in Yaakov and Yisrael in Gematria is 359, because Yisrael incorporates the Sotan. Kisarisam Elohim v'anoshim v'atuchal, it incorporates the Sotan into it. That's the Bechina l'mayla minateva, that's Yisrael, as opposed to Yaakov, which is the lower level. But what that means is that Yaakov has now this concept of seven within him. Where does it go? Yosef is Gematria 156, which is six times Havaya. And Yehuda is Yudke Vovke within his name. He's the fourth child, hence the Dalet. And Yudke Vovke is the rest of his name. Which means that Yaakov gives six portions to Yosef, and the seventh goes over to Yehuda. This is where the two concepts of Malchus come into being. There is a Malchus that comes from the children of Rachel, and a Malchus that comes from the children of Leah. And this Malchus is referenced in last week's both the Sedra and the Haftarah, Vayigash Elov Yehuda, that Yehuda and Yosef clash as a clash of Malchus. And in the Haftarah, Ksoval Eitz Echol, there's one piece of wood that has Yehuda, and Kol Beis Yisrael and Yosef and Kol Beis Yisrael and Yehuda and Bnei Yisrael. However, the Malchus has two stages, two levels. There is a difference between Yosef and Yehuda, and there's a different role that Yosef and Yehuda play. The first part of it is that Yosef always precedes Yehuda. We find this all the way through Tanakh. In Mitzrayim, Yosef comes first, but then when the brothers are on the way down, they don't all arrive at the same time. There's Yehuda, Shalach, he sends Yehuda first, Lahoros. He has to be there after Yosef has established a place for Malchus. Yehuda now fulfills that Mokoim, and then the rest of the brothers can come. When it comes to entering Eretz Yisrael, so the first shofet, so to speak, the first melech, is Yeshua, who's from the shevet of Yosef, and then the first shofet himself is Othniel ben Knaz, who is from the shevet of Yehuda. That's always the pattern. The Mishkan Shiloh, is in the chelik of Yosef, and then there is the Beis HaMikdash in the chelik of Yehuda. In terms of, we also find, this is more, slightly broader, because this is Bnei Rochel, that the first Melech comes from Bnei Rochel, Shaul, and then the second Melech is Yehuda, his son-in-law, who is from Shevet Yehuda. And in terms of Mashiach, there's Mashiach ben Yosef, Dafka first, and then Mashiach ben David. And in the Seder of the Shpizin, or in the Seder of the Midos, so the sixth is Yosef, even if it's not in order. And the seventh is Yehuda. Both of them are ma'ached. Both of them have this concept of being a melech, of bringing things together. Yosef is the concept of Yisoid, but if you look at the posuk that we said this morning, Lacha Hashem Havdula Vavura, they parallel these seven ideas. So Gedula is Chesed, Gevura is Gibor, right? Atiferes, Netzach, and Hoid. Ki Choel Bashamayim of Oretz. Ki Choel is Gematria Yisoid. What Yosef does is he brings together Shamayim and Oretz. Ki Choel Bashamayim of Oretz is that sixth midah. So he's Ma'achet Shamayim of Oretz, which is why his role as Melech is to provide for Klal Yisrael. That's what he does in Mitzrayim. He does what the job of a melech is to do. However, Yehuda is Lacha Hashem Amam Lach V'Amistasi L'Chol L'Rosh. there is still a level beyond that called Malchus. And it's in a separate posuk. First six midas are in one posuk, the seventh in a separate posuk, because there is a gemar, a completion, a finality, which Yehuda brings into being, which Yosef can't. Yosef is always the maschil, but he can never complete the job. Mashiach ben David will always be the one who is the permanent Mashiach. And the Maharal explains that Yosef and Yehuda parallel two of the Evarim, so to speak, in the Guf, which is the Moach and the Lev. So the Lev is Yosef, which creates the Hisoros. But the Moach is that which is Lemaila from all the other Evarim, and it is, of course, they're both Ma'achet, but this is Ma'achet in a way which brings them all to once the highest point, to the central point. And the Malchus of Yosef, in that it comes first, even though it's not the complete level of Malchus that Yehuda can bring to bear, there is one area in which it is higher, and that is, it's there first. It is the chiddush of Malchus in the world comes from Yosef. Who brings Malchus into being first? Yosef. And because it is new, because it is the first, it has the concept of perfection to it. Meaning that we find when Klal Yisrael go into Golus, we find Rochel Mevako al Boneo ki enena. Why dafka Rochel? We understand that the Ovos, we know the Medrash, that the Ovos all came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in each case the Taina was overruled. But where are the Emois? Why is there only one who is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And what's Pshat ki enena? Children are there, they're just not in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is that Yosef, being the midah of perfection, Yosef had tzaddik, it's the midah of a nation that has not yet sinned. It's the nation that has never yet tasted golus. And therefore what Rochel is crying over is that midah which has now disappeared. It can't be there anymore. Now that they've been taken into golus, that concept is no longer there. The concept of perfection, the concept of Yosef HaTzadik, the concept of somebody who doesn't sin at all, it's gone. What do we interestingly find as soon as they go into Golos? The first time they're called Yehudim. The Megillah. Now, Yehudim Osa'er of Sinfo Vesosim Yikar. Ish Yehudi. Because Yehudah represents the Baal Teshuva, whereas Yosef represents perfection. And the Vikuach in the Gemara in Sukkah about Ashrei Ziknasenu Shalei Bisha as Yaldei Sein. Right, there are two different levels. The one is the person who, in his older years, it reflects his younger years. It's all the way through, there's a parallel. And then there's the middah of the person who, in his older years, was able to overcome that which went wrong in the earlier years. So Yosef is the one who represents tzaddik, perfection. It's the beginning of Malchus. Yehuda represents the fact that they can do tshuva. And hence the response to Rachel is v'shavu bonim. That they will be able not just physically to come back, but they'll be able to do tshuva. But that already is the beginning of Yehuda. And it's very interesting, both of them were tried, were tested, in the area of Aroyas. Yosef never succumbed. Yehuda didn't know that there was a problem here. He didn't know that it was his daughter here. But what he has to then do is be moida tzadkom imen. That's the whole concept of Yehuda versus the concept of Yosef. And because Yosef comes first, Yosef also serves as the bridge between the Ovos and the Shvatim. We know that there are four levels of Bria. I don't mean outside of this world, outside of Elam HaSiyah. I mean levels of Domein, Semeach, Chai, and Medaber. Four levels of creation. Each of those four has a bridge which brings it from the lower level to the higher level. So for the Domein, the inanimate object, to get to the Tzemeach, you have things like things that grow but don't grow in the ground. In other words, they are Tzemeach, but they are Domein in the centre, they're not Yenik from the ground. Things, the spores and the fungus, etc. Between Tzemeach and Chai, between the level of something that grows and something that lives, you have certain characteristics in something like the Venus flytrap, that it traps animals, it traps flies and consumes them, which is not the bechina normally of a tzemeach, but neither is it a chai. And between the chai and the medaber, we have the kuf, we have the monkey, which has the appearance in many ways of a medaber, but it is a chai. Between the ovos and between Maisa ovos and the simon lebonim, there also has to be something which is the gesher, which is the bridge between the two. That gesher is Yosef, and it's because of that that we find at the very end of this week's parasha, we are told Vayomas Yosef, last pasuk. Vayomas Yosef, Yosef dies. We go into the next seder, into Parsha Shmos, and we're told Vayomas Yosef. There's only, I mean, I realize there's a week between the two, but there's only five psukim between the two. Why Dafke Yosef do we have to be told that he died? Here he dies with Bechinas Av, and here he dies with Bechinas Bein. And that's why Dafke in Shmos it says Vayomas Yosef V'chol Echov. Because here he's dying with Bechinas being the Ben, and there he's dying in the Bechinas being the Av. And therefore, you find in many of the Sforim, the Sfasemes, the Shla, the Maral, they talk about Yosef as not just being Bra Karadavur, but something much more than that. And hence, Yosef manages to do something which none of the other Shvatim do. And that is create, out of his two children, half Shvatim. Menashe v'Ephraim ku Reuven v'Shimon yiuli doesn't mean I love them as much as I love Reuven and Shimon. It means that on a certain level they are like Reuven Shimon. He's the only one of the sons that has two children who actually are a level up. But they're not always a level up. Sometimes you have 12 and sometimes you have 13. But in some ways, because Yosef is sometimes an Av and sometimes a Ben, his children have to be sometimes a Shevet and sometimes the son of Shvatim. And the input that they had on Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim is also similar to these two ideas. What does Yosef do? The brothers are about to be introduced to Pari. So Yosef advises them as follows. He says to them, listen, Pari is going to say to you, Ma Masechem, what do you do for a living? And what you should say is, Reit Sein, we are shepherds. We are shepherds, our ancestors are shepherds, as far back as it goes. We've always been shepherds. Why? Because then the Egyptians will hate you on sight. Right? Ki te'avas Mitzrayim. It's te'eva, if you're a shepherd. Which is perhaps not the ideal way to be introduced to society. You're there in the royal court, in front of Parai, everybody's present. Say something that will make you the object of immediate hatred. Yosef adds, Bavur teshu be'eretz Goshen. So that you will be able to live on your own in Goshen. You will be able to have your own existence. The way it has to start is that you are untouched by the outside world. True, you are going into Golus, but the ideal is to maintain your perfection even in Mitzrayim. Stay somewhere where there's nobody else. What's Yehuda doing? Yehuda is going to set up yeshiva in Mitzrayim. Because, as we know, when the Shibud starts, Klal Yisrael are not all in Goshen. And what's happening is that they are moving into Mitzrayim proper, and they need something to be able to bring them back. That's Yehuda's role. Yehuda has to implant Terah in Mitzrayim so that they can come back. And therefore, the whole life of Yosef is bound up in Malchus, and hence he can wear the coat and he has got that ability. But it's a Malchus that is different and is a forerunner to the Malchus of Yehuda. So he was right, and the brothers understood themselves to be right because they knew that Yehuda was the Melech. And this, though not a name that would normally be mentioned, I would assume, on the Torah way, in the, so to speak, critique of their Grace of Gaon, Spinoza. So when he starts saying that the Torah was written by human beings, he comes to this brilliant conclusion. One of them is based on the fact that in the middle of the story of Yosef, in the middle of Vayeshev, Vayeshev is all about Yosef. And in the middle you have the story of Yehuda. And what's it doing there, and how is the timing possible, and it's all, you know, it doesn't, it's in the wrong place. Right? So, he says, it was put in later. Ezra just dumped in the story later. In other words, Ezra was intelligent enough to be able to write about a story that took place hundreds of years earlier in the type of language that you would have needed to write in centuries earlier. He was intelligent enough to do that, but he was too stupid to look at where he's putting it. That's the Grace of Gaon, that's what he came up with, right? That's the father of Bible criticism. But the Shreiter didn't realise that Be'etzem, Yehuda and Yosef have to have their stories intertwined, because the whole unfolding of Malchus of Klal Yisrael has to happen when they both have a connection. Now, the addition to that is that, and therefore, Yosef has to be around in order to fight Esav, because the first Milchama, Moshiach ben Yosef, has to come from Yosef. Hagam, at the end of time, he will die in war, but he has to be there first. Without him around, Hagam, there's a Yehuda, there has to be a Yosef to start the Milchama. The next point about Yosef himself, not in comparison to Yehuda, but is in comparison to Yaakov. We're going back to the Maisa Ovis part. So the Torah starts in Parashat Vayeshev, El Ene told us Yaakov Yosef. Why? Because he paralleled, Yosef's life paralleled Yaakov's life. The amount of years they were away, what happened with the brothers, etc., etc. The truth is that the fourth Golus takes place when we look at what happened to Yaakov, and when we look at what happened to Yosef. Yaakov brings into being Halacha Esav Seinu LeYaakov. Edom will be there as an enemy of Yaakov till the end of time, and it's a halacha, it's a rule, it's axiomatic. But what gives that Keach the right to function, to rule? What brings out the ability of Esav to rule over us when we ourselves start the ball rolling, unfortunately? In other words, what destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed through Edom? When we ourselves had the Sinas Chinam. In other words, when internally we bring in that Machlekas, externally that Machlekas expresses itself in Halacha Esav Seinu LeYaakov. So you need to put Yaakov and Yosef together to understand the fourth Golus. And that is why we see in history that that's exactly what happened. The Chashmonaim, the early Chashmonaim were Moshe Nefesh for Torah. The later Chashmonaim were people who were Tzedekim. And eventually there was a civil war between two brothers, between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. One was on inside of Yerushalayim, one was on the outside of Yerushalayim. Two of the Chashmonaim, two brothers fighting, mamash like Yosef and his brothers, two Jews in Eretz Yisrael. How did they resolve the fight? They resolved to go and ask Pompey, the Roman general, to solve the dispute. So they invited him into Eretz Yisrael. He came in without firing a shot. And once he was there, he stayed. So what brought about Golus Edom? The machlekas between the brothers, which is the first level, which brings the second level of Edom. And hence we see that Yosef is shayach both to Yehuda in terms of Malchus, but also to Yaakov, the way it functions. And the outcome for Klal Yisrael is that Yosef gives us that which to aim for. When we start out with something, we should aim for something which maintains and retains the concept of perfection. But we need to know that there is a shlav bet, that if we don't succeed in maintaining the level of Yosef, there is the level of Yehuda which comes through tshuva. And hence we now live at a time where we need Yehuda's Malchus to be visible, to be seen, and what we are mispalel for is that Malchus David will come into being, and that will then restore, will be masaking all the chatoim, so that we reach back to the perfection which Yosef originally brought into being. Leave it there.